It's all about me today. Yeah, we ready to potty.
Turns out that Bretty turned into a bit of a slut.
That's right, I've got one. I'm bionic. I'm like cyborg. That's me.
So what do I mean by penis implants?
Hey, buddy. What I can do, I take you and I put you down. I mean, I put you under.
It gets semen hard.
I mean, semen like rock hard. You're like, yeah, buddy.
Just in case something pops up, we want to be able to pop up. There was a man in there that was 76 years old getting it in there. And I was looking at him like, dude, what are you using that for? You're not doing porn star shoots. It's more of a beep. Okay, so you have to pump it up every day. What? You have to pump it up every day. What do you mean pump it up every day? It has to be pumped up every single day. What about if I don't use it? Still got to pump it up. Can I skip a day? Do you want it to work? Yeah, I didn't go through all this pain for it not to work. Well, then you're going to pump it up every single day.
Does it make a sound? It.
As a matter of fact, it does.
What does it sound like?
So think about some small, tiny person in your nutsack moaning. Nowadays, it's like, yes, that son of a bitch is shining out there. I'm happy with that little motherfucker. Stay hard. Stay upright. Stay confident.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, just do what you need to do to stand to attention.
Brett Johnson, former United States Most Wanted cyber criminal, now good guy, and host of The Brett Johnson Show. Today's episode, we'll get to the topic in just a second, but needless to say, it's all about me today. Before we get to what we're going to talk about, because it's kind of a surprise, it's kind of something you want, I tell you what, let's go ahead and tell you what today's topic is. Today's topic is the Bretty Johnson penis implant. That's right. That's right. I've got one. I'm bionic. I'm like cyborg. That's me. Longtime listeners know that I actually did an episode on this a few years ago after I got it done. So I've had a few people over the years that have reached out to me or posted on my feed saying, hey, you know, it would be good if you touched base on this again, gave kind of a refresh and talked about it and your view of it now, because my view back then was not good at all. So we'll get to that on today's episode. Now, a few people may be wondering, Brett, where the hell have you been? It's been a minute since you put out an episode, and you're absolutely right. It has. The reason is I was in Austin, Texas. The other reason is this show, I really want it to be about redemption, about turning your life around, about becoming a better person, because it helps me figure out how to do that. And I think if it helps me figure out how to do that, that maybe it will resonate with other people who are trying to figure out how to do that as well. It's kind of a self-centered show that we're doing now, but it's something that I think is important. You know, the reason I do my shows is because I'm ultimately trying to find out more about myself and become that better person. It's all about that journey of, hey, how does a guy who was a lifetime criminal go about becoming that better guy, about becoming a healthy individual? So that's what I want the Brett Johnson Show to be. So understand that as we're transitioning, you know, we got rid of a lot of the criminal content. Now we've got the Criminal Thoughts podcast, which please go over to that, subscribe. There's some really good shit going on over there with the Brett Johnson Show as it's transitioning to this new type of therapy, chicken soup for the soul type thing, where we're bringing in guests. And sometimes I'll talk about things that don't have to do with that, like today's episode of the penis implant. As we get to there, there will be gaps as we come up with episodes. It will iron out. I have no doubt about that. It will iron out. So please, please bear with us. Now, that being said, I know that my audience has some input and some feedback on my shows. Please do not hesitate to leave a comment
on the comment sections. Do not hesitate to shoot me an email, brett@thebrettjohnsonshow.com. I read every single email. I respond to every single email as long as you're not an asshole. If you're an asshole, that delete button and that block button is there for a reason. And I use it prolifically. Please let me know what you like about the show. Let me know what you don't like. Let me know who you'd like me to have on as a guest, either on the Brett Johnson Show or on the Criminal Thoughts podcast, or a topic or a subject to discuss. I am more than willing to do that. All right. So please bear that in mind. Now, on the Brett Johnson Show, we have a segment that's from the headlines. We're talking about news stories that are kind of trending these days and giving kind of a feedback on that. Then we have the Art of Accountability segment from there, where we talk about little tidbits and life lessons that I've learned on this journey of turning my life around. And then we go into the main episode. So right now, we're going to talk about news from the headlines. All right, from the headlines, Netflix. Netflix is raising their fees yet again. As a matter of fact, they're not only raising their fees, but they're getting rid of their lowest price tier, meaning that everyone that wants to watch the shitty content that's over at Netflix is going to have to pay even more. Here's the thing. Netflix was responsible, single-handedly responsible, for the downtrend in piracy several years ago. Netflix came out, you got all your content on Netflix. It was cheap enough that most people who were downloading movies and music and stuff like that, they stopped doing that. You had Spotify that provided music. You had Netflix that provided content. That's typically where you went. As such, piracy, the numbers dropped dramatically at that point in time. Since that point, though, we have seen these streaming platforms that have started to raise their fees dramatically. Not only that, but we've seen these platforms separate and break up. So that now, if you're streaming content, you are paying as much, if not more, than you were when you used to have cable television. For example, me, I have Hulu. My Hulu bill is $176 a month, just the Hulu. Internet is another $70 a month. So now we're at $240. I have Apple TV. I think that is at $10 or $12 right now. I have Netflix at $14.99. I have HBO Max. I have Paramount. I have Peacock, which is free. I have all these different streaming services, not to mention my Xbox, my PS, my PlayStation Now accounts, everything else. Bottom line, Spotify, YouTube, all that. Bottom line, for me to stream content on a monthly basis is over $500. Now, think about that. Now, I am not a unique individual when it comes to that. Yes, I am spending way too much money streaming. The thing is that we're seeing now, because of the split of content, all these different platforms trying to be successful with providing content on their own platforms, you know, Disney, Paramount, blah, 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 blah. Because we're seeing all that, we're seeing a return to pirated content, not only because of the cost of streaming, but also the availability of what individuals want to watch. We constantly see these platforms that are removing content from their channels or from their sites. Piracy is continuing to take off, and it's going to continue. As prices increase, as content is taken away, we're going to continue to see that. As a matter of fact, just this year alone, piracy has increased a whopping 16%. As people say, no, I'm tired of paying that much money. I'm just going to keep my content, go over to Pirate Bay or where have you, and download it from there. All right, on today's Art of Accountability segment, we are talking about not being able to see the trees for the forest. Now, what do I mean by that? Maybe you know somebody that's out there that they think their life is shit, and you'll ask them, hey, what's wrong? Everything is wrong. Well, what's wrong? What's going wrong with your life? Well, everything. There's not one thing that's right in my life right now. It's everything's bad. It's that thought process. It's that looking at everything and going to absolutes. You know, everything's bad. Nothing is going right. My life completely sucks. Nothing is good whatsoever. It's that blinds you to how to fix what's wrong in your life. We have to be able to step back, be objective, and start to pinpoint exactly those things that are wrong or that we want changed in our lives. It's not an everything or all type notion. There are things that are good in our lives. There are things that are not good that we want to change in our lives. It's important to be able to see the trees and not just the overall forest that's out there. If you can do that, if you can just pinpoint those small things, then you know what you can do to address those, fix those, and overcome those obstacles. It's when you have that mindset that everything is wrong, that you can't fix anything because you don't know what the hell is going on whatsoever. And that's a degree of cognitive dissonance. So I would urge anyone that's out there, like I've got a first cousin and she's going through it right now. And I asked her, I was like, what's happening? And she's like, my life sucks. And I was like, okay, what specifically about your life sucks? And she's like, every single thing about it. And it got me so bad because I'm like, look, you've got family that loves you. You've got children that absolutely adore you. Your clients that you work with, they respect you. They like you. They engage with you. Yeah, you've got some stuff that you've got some money issues. Because most people do, you know, you're having a hard time monetarily and financially. I understand that. You're depressed because you had a breakup a couple years ago. You've not gotten past that. But if you can pinpoint those specific things that are causing you to feel this way, to think and then feel this way, then you can address those and figure out what you need to do to fix those issues. And that is what I mean by not being able to see the trees for the forest. Look at your life, break down exactly what's wrong objectively, and then figure out what you need to do to fix those parts that you don't like. And that is today's Art of Accountability. All right, on today's episode of the Brett Johnson Show, we are doing a part two of the penis implant show that I did a few years ago. And here's the thing. So I did that on YouTube, and as most people know, at one point, I was banned from YouTube, not for that episode. No, dipshit Brett decided to do an episode on these sugar daddy websites and how that's a form of modern prostitution. And I was frowned upon for that. And my content was removed. So if you're going to try to find that episode, you can probably find it on Spotify, some of the other podcast platforms that are out there. You don't need to listen to it, because we are going to do a recap of it today. And we're going to continue on and talk about how things are working out these days. So what do I mean by penis implant? Well, what I mean is, think of it like this. You got a doctor because, you know, Johnson's Johnson won't stand up to attention. You got a doctor that says, hey, buddy, I take you in, I put you down. I mean, I put you under. I split your little penis in two, take like a melon baller, scoop everything out, take two balloons, stuff up in there, take some duct tape, wrap it around, send your ass home. Works like a charm. At least that's what I thought when the guy was telling me about it. I have a long history of erectile dysfunction. A long history. It turns out that a life of crime comes with it a lot of anxiety and stress. And a lot of anxiety and stress is not beneficial if you're trying to get Mr. Winky to stand to attention. It doesn't work very well at that point in time because you're always expecting a knock at the door or some bullshit like that. Over the years, I got married when I was 24, my first marriage. And at that point in time, everything was working just fine. But I was also a criminal. And as I got more and more deeper into that criminal lifestyle, the stress, the anxiety, everything that was going on, it really resulted in problems of being able to get an erection. And this is one of these things. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they don't want to talk about it because it's embarrassing. And I agree. It's absolutely embarrassing. You never want, you know, if you're talking to some chick, and I'm 54, I don't call them chicks anymore. I did back then. But if you're talking to some chick when you're young like that, and you trying to put your moves on and everything, you don't want to look at her and say, I'm able to make it to work about 30% of the time. The other 70% of the time, there is no guarantee that anything exciting is going to happen in the bedroom whatsoever. That tends not to get you much action. And when you're young, you're looking for all this action. So I got married when I was 24. And over time, over the next few years, it got to the point where I really suffered from erectile dysfunction. I went through several different ED types of treatments. And, the first was Viagra, for example. And for those who haven't taken Viagra, it's that little blue pill. And you take it, and what it does is it causes the blood to flow into the cavities inside of the penis. And that's what gives a man an erection, that blood flowing up. Man gets excited, blood flows up. Think of it as like a little door at the base of the penis that snaps shut as soon as the blood goes in there. And you're like, yeah, we ready to party. That's what happens. And Viagra helps get that blood rushing in there. All right. And it helps give you that erection that you need to engage in intercourse. The thing about Viagra, yes, it works great for some people. Oftentimes, it will cause you to have a stuffy nose, headache. If you take massive amounts of it, we've seen people go blind. Your parents may have told you at some point, hey, you keep rubbing it, you're going to go blind. Well, Viagra absolutely has caused some people to go blind at times. So Viagra, while it works, it does have some issues, and it doesn't work with everyone. All right, so you start out at a very low dosage, and then finally you move up to 100 milligrams, 150 milligrams, and you can't breathe, and you're taking this thing and you're hoping that it works, and sometimes it doesn't, and finally you get to start using Cialis, it's kind of a time released capsule or tablet that does the exact same thing. That blood rushes into the cavities of the penis and is supposed to give you an erection. I did that for a few years with varying degrees of success, and it finally got to the point where that no longer worked. So what the hell do you do? And here I am. Make no mistake about it. If I could fire the little son of a bitch, I would. If I could place an ad on Indeed for some little worker to come in and replace this little motherfucker that's in between my legs, I would do that. But it don't work like that. He's a gold bricker. He lays down on the job a lot, but you can't replace him. If Trump would have just built a wall to keep those little son of a bitches out, we'd have a much better country, I'll tell you that. Now, that being said, it got to the point that these tablets did not work. So what do you do at that point in time? Well, they have an answer. And here is where it kind of starts to get a little nightmarish. That answer comes into giving you a shot, or you give yourself an injection into your penis. I heard my producer go, ugh. That's exactly what it feels like. You take an insulin needle, you fill it up with this stuff, you inject it in your penis, and I'll tell you what happens. It gets semen hard. I mean, semen like rock hard. You're like, yeah, buddy. The thing is that the more you do that, the less effective it works. I took the injections, and this is the desperation of a man. This is how desperate men get. We're very good about connecting our manhood to our manhood. If it's not working properly, we think we're not working properly. Whether we're actually having intercourse or not, we want that damn thing to function. Just in case something pops up, we want to be able to pop up. So I got to the point where, yeah, I'll give it a shot. You get this thing and they teach you how to give yourself an injection in the penis. And what you do, you give it. So what happens is your penis inside has basically these two caverns that run parallel. All right, long lengthwise. And you get the injection, the needle, and you inject it into one of those caverns, inject the medication in there. And over the next couple of minutes, it causes things to get very hard, very hard. It works for a while, and then it doesn't work? And then you, at that point, what other solution do you have? Well, the other solution that you have, the final solution, is a penile implant. So I was taking these shots, and they're good enough here to pull it up. There's a picture of what the implant actually looks like. So the long thing, there's two cylinders. Those go into your penis. The thing that hangs down from that, that is a little like balloon that you use to pump up your penis. The large balloon up above the cylinders, that's what it looks like, yes. The large balloon up above the cylinders, that is full of saline that's in your lower abdomen, all right? So what you do is you pump it up, as my producer is showing, you pump that thing up, you get an erection, you keep that erection just as long as you keep it pumped up. When you're finished, there's a release valve on the balloon, you hold that, you take the penis, you squeeze the saline out of the penis, and the erection goes down. I'm one of those guys that associates my manhood with my manhood. It doesn't matter about intercourse so much as, hey, I want to be able to function because, you know, I've got that ego, I've got that testosterone, and I've got that machismo or whatever you want to call it. I've got all that. I don't like the idea. Yes, we have a question.
So, Brett, do you have to hold on to the pump the whole time to keep it out?
Excellent question. And the answer is no. So when I first got that, what happens is they put the implant in you, and it hurts like hell. Make no mistake. I was scared to death. I'd had a gastric sleeve put in so I could lose weight. That was the only surgery I'd ever had. I'd never had anything serious like that. So the doctor, he was explaining it to me, and he was like, you know, do you want to watch a video of how it's done? And I was like, no, goddamn, I don't want to see how it's done. I've already got a very vivid picture of what it looks like. And he's like, what do you think it is? And I was like, well, I think that it's like you splitting the penis in two, taking a melon ball or scooping everything out, throwing two balloons in there and sewing it up real quick. And he looks at me, he's like, it's not exactly wrong. And I'm like, that's good to fucking know. What happens is after the surgery, about a week, 10 days after that, you go back into the doctor's office. And I went into the doctor's office, and it was a nurse, a female nurse. And she was like, I'm going to show you how to pump it up. And I'm sitting there going, really? And she's like, really? She's like, you know, it takes like 7-8 good squeezes, saline comes in, and you can see it working. Saline comes in and it stays there. You can, when you let go of the balloon, the saline stays into the penis. And then when you want it deflated, at that point, you grab that same balloon up at the top. There's like a little squeeze valve. You squeeze that, which opens up the balloon. Then you take your other hand, hold your penis in your hand, and you squeeze all that saline out, and it deflates at that point in time. So, no, you don't have to hold it constantly like that point in time, even though that might be more fun at the end of the day. What's interesting is for those people, I know there's a lot of men out there, because over the years I've had more than a few emails that have asked me some questions about my implant. So let's walk through this just for a minute. The first thing is, yes, it works. Okay, it absolutely works. There are some negative aspects to it, and we'll get to that in a second. The surgery itself, you go in, the surgery takes, you know, a couple of hours to do. You go back home, they've got a drain on you, they've got you on a catheter, you leave that in, and I was in the bed for like 5 days, and it was not a pleasant experience. That 5 days is not just not the recovery time, though. The recovery time on this is, they tell you, you know, 3 weeks. The recovery time is more like 3 months until you're actually able to, you know, do things that you would like to do with it. But it goes even more than that. You don't fully regain feeling because your penis has suffered a traumatic injury. You don't fully regain feeling of it for up to a year at that point in time. Now, after that, yes, you regain feeling and everything else. Now, that's not all either. Understand that the way a penis is made, so the blood rushes into the shaft, into those canals, And because it rushes into that, it also causes the head to inflate as well, to grow big. That does not happen once you get a penis implant, because those are basically balloons that are now in your penis, all right? So the head no longer swells like it used to. As a result, there are a few things that you can do. And here's the thing, if you don't do this, it looks odd, all right? Because you've got this big thing and then you've got this small thing and it's like something is wrong with you. So what you have to do is you have to get a prescription for Viagra, Cialis, something like that, that will cause that head to grow to the size that it's supposed to be. Or you can use a ring around the base and the shaft of the penis, and that will cause the blood to flow up in and to stay in the head of the penis as well. So that's some of the downturns on that. There's even some more negatives, though. I was always a grower, not a shower. That's right. You looked at me and it was like, damn, what can you do with that, you little bug fucker? That's what it was. The benefit, though, with this surgery is that now you are a shower, not a grower. That's right. However big it looks there is however big it's going to get. But I never realized the benefits of being a grower, not a shower. And this is one of the issues with the implant itself. The implant itself is it never fully deflates. Okay, so if you wear gym pants and you don't wear a tight pair of underwear or gym shorts and you don't wear a tight pair of underwear, it looks like you're getting a little excited at the gym. All right. Same thing for sweatpants like that. Go ahead.
So, Brett, I know that there are several different types of implants. Mm-hmm. Some can make you gain length and girth, and some don't. What type do you have?
All right. So, excellent question. When I went in and I was talking to the doctor tells me, he says, stand up. And I stand up. He's like, so drop your pants. So I drop my pants and he's down on his knees and he's looking at me like, this is not a good picture, doc. So he's looking at it. He's like, okay. And he takes it, he stretches it out. And he was like, look, he said, we really can't add any length. He said, everyone asks for length to be added. He said, you really can't add length to it with an implant. And I was like, are you sure you can't add an inch or two? Because I need it. And he was like, no, you can't add length. He said, but he said, what you can do is you can add girth. He said, so what we're going to do, he said, you're a prime candidate for this. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to put this size in you and it will actually cause you to be wider at that point in time. And I was like, well, that's not a bad thing. And he's like, no, it's not. So as far as length, most implants are, it's impossible to give length. Now, what they do with that, if you're having an implant at the base of your penis, there's a ligament right at the base that ties the penis to the pelvis itself. And that ligament is what keeps that penis from going as you're moving around. It keeps it kind of stationary, all right? A lot of surgeries, when they advertise that they can give you length, what they actually do is they cut that ligament at that point in time. And because of that, it causes the penis to extend even further. It doesn't really add length. It gives the illusion of length is what it does. All right. But when they cut that ligament at that point in time, your penis is no longer as stationary as it used to be. It just wiggles all over the place, which might be fun for some people, not so fun for others. Another one of the things that happens with this, I said you needed to use like Viagra, Cialis, a ring, something like that. And the reason for that is that oftentimes, so you've got those two cylinders, those two balloons that go into the shaft. The result, because you've got two balloons, instead of it being round, it's not really round anymore. It's more oblong, all right, the penis itself. That's why you have to use the ring or Cialis or Viagra so that the blood comes into the rest of it and causes it to round out at that point in time. If you don't do that, then all of a sudden you're holding this thing's kind of oblong and you're like, that doesn't even feel right when I use the restroom. So these are the things that you need to know. And I think that people who are looking at this type of surgery you absolutely need to be aware of this. If you're the person who likes to wear Under Armour pants, you know, those types of tech pants where they're thin, they're not like cotton, they're polyester, things like that. You can wear them. You can wear jogging pants. You can wear, you know, gym shorts. But when you do that, you need to be aware that if you're going to wear those, then you need a type of underwear that will actually keep your penis from looking like you've got an erection. Because again, it never goes fully down. It always extends out a little bit. And you're going to look like a fucking pervert if you do that and you don't prepare for that to begin with. No, it does not always pay to advertise. That will get your ass on a list someplace and people will look at you really funny. So just be advised of that. So that's the implant. Overall, these implants tend to last, doctor told me, 7 to 10 years. When I went my day of surgery, there were young men getting it. I'm 54 now. I think I was 49 or 50 when I had mine. All right. But there were men much younger than me. There was a man in there that was 76 years old getting it in there. And I was looking at him like, shit, dude, what are you using that for? But he was happy, but that's the surgery.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Does it decrease, not change, or increase your level of horniness?
Ah, what's interesting, when a man gets excited without the implant, that excitement causes the blood to rush to flow into the penis. When you have an implant and you get excited, that blood will still flow except to the area that causes the penis to get erect. So it will flow into the outlying areas of the penis. The thing about the implant is you don't need to be sexually excited to get an erection. It's automatic. And if you are sexually excited, you absolutely still have to pump it up in order to perform at the end of the day. This is a big, big shift all of a sudden. Now, the other thing is, you know, your partners, they're going to ask some questions. You know, they're going to ask some questions. And you know,
I have another question.
Sure. And then I'll tell this.
Okay, Shayna.
Actually, I have the question.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
So, is it more for show or are you actually able to ejaculate?
Excellent question. So, you do ejaculate. Sometimes the balloons themselves will block off that urethra area where the ejaculate comes from. All right. So, it's you're not doing porn star shoots, all right? And you add in that you're 50-some years old, and we know that the flow does not go well as you get older. It's not really, you know, it's more of a bing, like that. So just know that. You know, if you're looking at that, you're probably not going to be as happy as you thought you were going to be. You know, the thing is that... my first wife, when I met her, I'd had maybe two or three sexual partners when I married my first wife back in when I was 24, 30 years ago. When my wife left me, at that point, I went a little nuts. I won't tell you my number, but I went a little nuts. I would typically, especially when I was screwing over the Secret Service, after a night of work and screwing over the Secret Service, I would go into a strip club and I would have a wad of $20 bills and I would hand that to the bartender and I would say, however many kamikazes that will buy, bring me. And they would actually put these tables together and stack up these kamikaze drinks there. And I called that my stripper magnet. And I would stay there most of the night partying with the girls there until they closed up shop. And I would go home with one of the girls. And it was hardly ever the same girl. Because of that, my numbers are not a respectful number. Turns out that Bretty turned into a bit of a slut that led into a lot of the erectile dysfunction that I had. You know, I joke about it a lot, but that's a very serious thing. You know, men, we start our relationships by being turned on and excited by those that we have interest in, whether they're male or female. You know, we're turned on by physical looks. And from that, we tend to develop a relationship. Women typically, my understanding anyway, is women don't operate like that. I'm sure some of them do. But, you know, the more people that you sleep with, the more that you disrespect the intimacy of sexual relations, I think that absolutely, and you add in the stress of my criminal lifestyle, I think that absolutely led into the severity of the erectile dysfunction that I was having. And just to backtrack, I mean, having that conversation with a woman, you know, you think everything's fine. You go out on a date and you come back to her place or she comes back to your place and you start being intimate. It not only is a problem that's recurring, but in your mind as a man, you start worrying, is it going to work this time? And that worry absolutely leads into it not working right now. So it's this mind fuck thing that continues on. It's not just psychological, though. At least it wasn't in my case. In my case, what was actually going on as well was at the base, I had a leak so that the blood would not stay in the canals themselves. Now, trying to explain that to your significant other becomes very difficult because they tend to think that, hey, it's me, he's not excited by me. That's what a lot of people tend to think, and that could not be further from the truth. Even though you may try to explain it to them and you can show it to them and everything else, a lot of people simply don't understand that. And I think that's one of the reasons that men chase, you know, erectile problems with Viagra and Cialis, and then finally, if they're really desperate enough, like I was, they get the shot. And by God, if they're really desperate, after that stops working, they break out the melon baller, the duct tape, and start stuffing shit in there. So I think that's the desperation that a lot of men feel, and this is a topic that a lot of men are uncomfortable talking about.
Sure, shoot. Did you know that back then, or did it take a while for you to fully understand that by going to a doctor?
No, I didn't know I had the leak. I knew that it was to me it was all psychological, because every time that I would go to sleep with a woman, it would be, is it going to work? Is it going to work? And I would have the Viagra there, and I'd pop one, and I'd even worry then, is it still going to work? And even with the Viagra, there's still that psychological element. You have to be confident in yourself. But, you know, if you've got a history of, you know, sometimes a son of a bitch stands up and sometimes the son of a bitch calls in for work that day, then you start worrying that it's not. And that worry absolutely influences what's happening in the moment. It's that idea, you know, if you're distracted from the intimacy, you're not going to be excited. You're going to have anxiety. You're going to have stress. You're going to have worry. And that absolutely kills the moment for you. Meanwhile, you've got somebody there that you really care about and you want to be intimate with, and you're not able to do that. So you start worrying about what they're thinking of you. And by God, they are thinking something. Absolutely, they are. They're usually thinking, don't I turn you on? Aren't you excited? Don't you want to be with me? And sometimes they voice that to you. Well, how do you handle that? Do you sit down and have this conversation? Well, sure you do. But that conversation does not work a lot. You know, you can say it. That doesn't mean somebody's going to believe that, even if it is true. So I think that's a lot of the reason that men chase these cures, these procedures, the surgery, things like that. And with me, like I said, it became not even about intercourse, but just giving the confidence to be a man, You know, if you're not able to even do that, I mean, and yeah, I'm an educated guy. I know that's not what makes a man. At a very conscious degree, I know that. At a subconscious degree, no, by God, I don't know that. And that's what I think that's what's important is understanding the importance for a man not to be performing, but have the ability to perform. And I think that makes all the difference. It's amazing. It is truly amazing what we human beings will do in order to make ourselves whole. My grandfather, Paul Campbell, he was absolutely bug nut crazy. He used to say that if he could just get it hard one more time, he would take a couple of popsicle sticks, wrap around it and tape it, and that way it would stay that way. So yeah, the implants have not been around a long time. I actually looked at some snapshots of the older ones. The older ones were very rudimentary. These work extremely well. They're long lasting. Like I said, it takes up to a year to regain feeling in your penis itself, up to a year. And by God, they mean that. All right. And so that's just something to be aware of at that point in time. This is the other thing. When I went in, they tell you, the lady's like, okay, so you have to pump it up every day. What? You have to pump it up every day? What do you mean pump it up every day? It has to be pumped up every single day. What about if I don't use it? Still got to pump it up. Can I skip a day? Do you want it to work? Yeah, I didn't go through all this pain for it not to work. Well, then you're going to pump it up every single day. They mean that. All right. So every day in the shower, when you first wake up, whatever, you pump it up, let it back down. And that, I guess that makes sure that the balloons don't harden or anything else at that point in time. But every single day you have to pump it up. It lasts 7 to 10 years, at which point it doesn't work anymore. And guess what? Go back to the doctor, they put you under again, they take the penis, they split it in two, take the melon baller, scoop everything out, throw two more balloons in there, wrap everything up, send your ass back home again. And you go through all that pain. And let me tell you, that shit is uncomfortable. It is not something that you look forward to at all. As a matter of fact, when I first got the surgery, I did the show about this, and my response was absolutely not worth it at all. Now I'm, you know, 4 or 5 years out, and I can tell you, yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's not perfect, but by God, it works, and you don't have to worry about it not working. And for a man, if you've for you men out there that may have experienced a lot of sexual dysfunction, erectile dysfunction, the knowing that it's going to work every single time, regardless of your mindset, the environment, whatever substances you may have in your body. You know, a lot of people can't drink alcohol because they won't be able to get it up. Not a problem. Not a problem. It's going to go up. Okay. So knowing, having that confidence that it's going to work regardless, even though it is bionic, it really helps. It helps a lot.
So I'm curious about what does your partner think of this? As far as, is it pleasurable for her?
I'm a little uncomfortable pumping it up in front of someone. Okay, that is not something that that I look forward to.
Does it make a sound?
It. As a matter of fact, it does.
What does it sound like?
So think about some small, tiny person in your nutsack moaning as you're pumping it up. It's like, doctor, I think someone's down there. Check it out. So it works fine. Even though you're able to get an erection, you still, for me, there's still that bit of embarrassment that I needed that. Okay. Now, that being said, I will, for any men out there that are curious, and for women who are curious as well, you can go forever with it. There is no such thing as a minute man anymore when you get one of those. Period. That's simply one of the changes. The other change, like I said, is that you are no longer, if you were a grower before, you are no longer a grower. you have that and it's there and you're able to dance around with it if you want to or whatever you want to do. All right. And that absolutely gives you more confidence as well at the end of the day. Overall, as I said, there are negatives to it, but overall, it's a very positive, life-changing experience for the good. I think we've covered every single thing that I wanted to cover in that. For those who are interested, I think I paid I think it was like $4,000 total was what that was. All right, including I didn't stay overnight in a hotel. It's an outpatient surgery. You leave the same day and they come back home and get your ass in the bed and camp out in the bed for 3 to 4 days. For any questions, anyone that's got any questions at all, this will be on YouTube. Please leave it in the comment section. If you're catching it on Spotify or iTunes or something like that, shoot me an email at brett@thebrettjohnsonshow.com. I am happy to answer any questions that you've got. I know that there are men out there that are thinking about this, that have had erectile dysfunction. If you've got questions about the implant, I can answer those. If you've got questions about those horrible shots, I can answer those. Same thing for the pills, the mindset, anything else across the board. How to address this with your partner? I've got a whole history of dealing with this and coming up and trying all the solutions that are out there across the board. The pumps, everything. I've done all of that, so I can answer any of those questions that you've got and answer them truthfully and without judgment. Because we know as men, by God, we are scared to be judged. Before I had my implant, I only liked about 2 inches of being born a woman. Nowadays, it's like, yes, that son of a bitch is shining out there. I'm happy with that little motherfucker. But yeah, shoot me any questions that you've got. I think I've covered everything that I wanted to on this episode. It is it's a painful surgery. All right. If the doctor tells you it's not, he's lying to you. It's a painful surgery. The recovery takes a while.
Are you still able to have children if you wanted to?
I am still able to have children if I wanted to. I find out, though, the older I get, the less I want to have little rugrats running around. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's true.
Any questions, shoot them over to me. I can answer them for you. It's overall a positive experience. And I think that, if you're having these issues, if you want someone to talk to, by all means, shoot me an email. I'm happy to answer it for you, give you advice, give you the real full rundown on everything that's going on. My name is Brett Johnson. This is the Brett Johnson Show. And we're going to close things out. I'm not sure it makes sense to close things out by saying stay safe, stay secure, stay vigilant. So we're going to do what?
Stay hard.
That's exactly right. We're going to close things out by saying stay hard, stay upright, stay confident.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, just do what you need to do to stand to attention. I'm Brett Johnson. This is the Brett Johnson Show. Thank you so much for tuning in.